Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm here with Simon. Simon has helped me so massively, and we're going to share why. I've been playing with AI a lot, and I joined Simon's community, the Agentic Academy, on school, and it was foundational. So thank you, sir. Thank you. And thank you for joining me today. So tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Roy. So I kind of got deep into AI about probably 18 to 24 months ago, probably a similar time to a lot of people when they started playing around with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And yeah, just found myself getting deeper and deeper into AI, but understanding that there was this huge gap between AI slop, as we call it, and content that's actually produced that feels like human curated. So where I sit and where my community sits is helping empower business owners to use AI in their day-to-day, but not to drop the quality. So it's to maintain that high quality, increase output, and use AI to effectively empower you to do so.
And we speak to business owners. That's what I do. I speak to business owners who go on this journey. And I want you to go back to the time when you decided you weren't employable anymore. When could you not work for? So when did you want to step into your own power, as it were?
Oh yeah, that's a really good question. I think I've always been the kind of person that I've always had my sights set on starting something myself. And I'm not sure whether that's just the freedom of being able to make your own decisions, etc. But yeah, there's some distinct memories I have in the past of when I've been told to do something by other people that I felt was like not where I could add value the most.
Yeah.
And I think it's those kind of occasions that accumulate over time. And yeah, a couple of those occasions where I've been like, hang on, I think I could be more valuable if I step out in my own thing and actually empower others to do greater things for themselves. So I guess there's just an accumulation of those small times when somebody tells you, oh, do it this way, and you kind of have your own vision on what it should be done like.
I think one of the things that really inspires me about business owners, because we are a different breed of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
1% of people in the world will become a business owner. 1%.
Oh, really? Is it just 1%? Yeah.
Yeah. And 1.6% or something like that. In a given year, less than 1% will actually start a company.
Yeah. Wow.
And the difference between us and normal people, I'm not saying other people, because we're all a little bit ADHD and we're all a bit, is that, I don't know how many people that you've spoken to that have said, I've got this great idea for a business.
Yeah.
Right. And they stay.
Never
yeah. They stay in the comfortable, right?
Yeah.
They stay 100%. In the salary, right?
Or they think they need a great idea. And actually, when you look at most successful businesses, they didn't start with this like original idea. You of course have outliers like Uber, etc. But most businesses are doing something that already exists, but doing it in a better way.
Yeah.
And like those business owners already can see that they don't need something that's like absolute revolutionary. They just need something that's going to add value to a certain customer.
Yeah, we see a business owners see a problem in the world.
Yeah,
and then know that they can fix it.
Yeah.
And step out and do the fixing. And
yeah,
I love what you said there before. You did it for freedom. Right. And yeah, for sure, that's the biggest motivation to get out there and be free. And the problem is, if you're not careful, it becomes your biggest prison, right?
Yeah, don't I know it? Yeah, it's super difficult because you do it all in the name of freedom, and then you spend more hours at your desk than you ever did with a job. But it feels very different. I don't know how you feel about it, Roy, but it feels very different. It's like every moment I'm at my desk, I'm actually super passionate about what I'm doing, and I'm trying to, do something to help others. Whereas when I was at desk for somebody else, it didn't feel like that at all. It felt like I was watching the clock to leave the place. And then when I do want to take a day off, I can take a day off. And that's what's important. Even if I don't, I can.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you have the option, and I think that's such a good point, is that you feel empowered all the time, right? I'm just busy going through vision statements and things with some of my clients, and once you have this powerful vision, right, that vision drives you through all that hard work, right?
100%.
You got to really keep on going to that vision, towards that vision, towards that vision. And if a vision is not strong enough, then you become one of the 78% of businesses that fail in the first year. So that's a super powerful thing to do. Let's flip onto this new world of ours, right?
And that's
And wow, what an opportunity there is for everybody, right? What do you The thing I see the most, and I'm guessing for you it's the same because of where you look on social media, you have all these people saying all these amazing things about AI and what it can do. But when I go out into the real world and talk to people, hardly anyone is doing anything.
It is exactly like that, actually. Like, I guess we're at the very early stages, and some people think because of all the hype around there that they're late to adopting this tech. But actually, you can pick up the foundations of this technology extremely quickly. It can take you a month, 2 months with just a bit of practical application, and you can pick up the same knowledge or 80% of the same knowledge that somebody has from 2 years ago when they were doing ChatGPT. And it's almost better to be doing it now and starting now because there's all that accumulated knowledge and learnings of what hasn't worked in the past and what things need to be improved going forwards.
I remember the first, I was in the game from when ChatGPT came out. And the thing that really blew my mind with my accent, with my mumbling, with my not being as clear, I've worked on it, was that I could actually talk into this chat window and get something comprehensive out. Right. And I was like, wow, okay, great. And I think fairly fast, but I can't type very fast. So that just basically meant that I always felt like I was not at my potential, right?
Are you now using something like Whisperflow to dictate or
I am using Whisperflow,
But you used to just talk directly into ChatGPT, is that right?
Actually, probably about a year ago, I built an 11's Labs little program to
Oh,
do that, and I've literally only just gone over to Whisperflow, and it's one of those ideas, right? I've got this great idea, I can just do this, and so I built out a script and I gave it to a whole bunch of people, and then somebody came along and is now making millions.
Yeah, exactly. So many ideas to chase, actually. Like when you first start out, it's really hard to just have that core focus. But as soon as you start to have that core focus, that's when you start to see the accumulated learnings and growth, right? And going back to the point around lots of people talking about these business ideas, that is the view that a lot of people have, right? Oh, I've missed that idea now. But it's not like that. Actually, if you can find an area of that specific niche that you can do a lot better than Whisperflow, for example, then that is a business in its own right.
For sure. The part that you mentioned there, one of the things that I spend a lot of time talking to people about is that we have 30 years, 20 years, you probably have 15 years worth of accumulated business knowledge of the things you've done, right? And for me, AI is a 60% tool. It's not a 80% tool or a 90% tool, it's a 60% tool. And I have to keep the architect role all the time, right? I have to be powerful in that. I have to know what my vision is. I have to know what my plan is. And I have to keep on bringing it back on track again. And what we can do as companies, as company owners, is we can allow, you know, everybody in our company to bring the human to the top.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, to really raise the human up. Because if we can raise the human up, those are the companies that aren't going to be delivering slop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
What does that look like? Huh?
Yeah, like it's a really good point, because the people who are going to be most powerful, in my opinion, going forwards are those functional knowledge owners.
Yeah.
They understand their processes inherently. Mm-hmm. And now the tech can build itself, or like you said, get to a 60, 70, 80% version. So if you can manage your context and your logic, that's 80% of the battle. 20% is now the tech. And it used to be the opposite. It used to be the hard part, and why you'd hire an expensive engineer was because we couldn't build the tech quickly.
Yeah.
And then loads of tools came out to build quick landing pages, quick automations. But this kind of wraps it all in one. And now the most powerful people moving forward are those that have inherent inbuilt context that others don't have around their industry, around their niche, around their function.
Yeah, and I think as we step through this, this is what's going to come to the top, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see it. So even Claude, ChatGPT, Grok, whatever I'm using, right? The context window is actually really small. It doesn't really work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the simplest things that I did in the last year was to take, probably 8 months ago, I took my Claude and I connected it to my Notion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's such a simple thing to me now. But as I'm working through my day, I'm just, just stick that into Notion for me. Just do this. And and suddenly, my Notion is quite messy because there's a lot of stuff in there. But I don't even need to look into it, because I can just say, I did this thing the other day. Can you help me find it? Oh, it's under here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing I hear so often is, well, AI is going to make you dumb. And I found it's entirely the opposite.
Yeah.
It's just opened up my potential. It's opened up what I'm capable of doing. Yeah, because all I need to know now is what's the problem.
Yes.
Right?
You're spending your time now on the more creative, harder tasks, I imagine, than what you were doing before, which was searching for where you saved that note, which is the task that we shouldn't really be doing, arguably. We should just be actually focusing on the next biggest leverage thing for our business. Yeah. And AI helps you to do that, because you don't need to search for the note anymore. You can just say, you have access to my Notion. Go and find the note that I wrote the other day. I can't even remember the exact words, but you can search by meaning. So you can go and find that. It was something about finances, and then, you know, it goes and finds the right note.
Yeah, for sure. It was something about finances. I think I was speaking to Bob. Off it goes.
Yeah.
And as we go through now, like the I'll just go through how I used your process. I used NA10 for a long time. So when I finish this podcast, I take the audio file, I put it into Descript, I do some, remove ums and ahs and stuff. Make sure it sounds okay. Take that file and drop it into a folder, and it goes through it. Boom, boom, boom. Basically does what would have taken me 2.5 days in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. But it took me 6 weeks to build that NA10 workflow. Right?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. About a month ago, I realized you can connect the API directly to Claude.
Yeah.
So now I'm just saying, I need a workflow that does this. Go build it. Just build it. Right.
Yeah, you leave and do something else. And how long did it take to replicate that?
20 minutes now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does it work as consistently as NAN? Like, did you have to do many iterations?
Well, I'm getting Claude to build the NAN, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it is actually just building the flow. Yeah.
So I've got the flows in NA10. I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, I need to sort these flows out. Yeah, I need to do this and this and this. Yeah. And then I need this flow to go into that flow. I need a human checkpoint here. I want you to go to my Notion. Like, now I've got a video that I've done, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that video. I'll drop it into a folder. an edited folder. It'll go off to Gemini. It'll check the video. It'll give it a scoring for hook and for this, for that, for the next thing. And then it'll go, okay, here's the transcript. Now let's get a good caption for it. Let's get a title for it. Throw that all into Notion for me. And then using your system, I've now got to, right, I now need to run my LinkedIn scheduling for the month. Go and find out what people are researching or talking about on Reddit, find out the most useful things, and build me out a schedule for the month. Go and check the analytics for last month, see what they did, and see what's worked and what hasn't worked, see if the time of the days are working, come back and talk to me about it. And then it's like, yeah, you need to change this, you need to change that. Okay, I change those, off you go, send it. And then I've done a month's worth of posting, right?
Yeah, and what I'm hearing from when you're talking through it is these are things you used to just do manually yourself or not have the time to do, right? A month's worth of posts, how long would that take you to do if you were actually, obviously you go through and you do the human in the loop checkpoint, but like to gather the ideas, to pull the content, to rework them into, you know, content posts in the right format, ready in the right place.
Yeah. All these, it's just it's so much time. And I actually I shared my book with you, and the fun part of that was that I was like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to, I could never get going, right?
Yeah,
because I knew I had it in me, and I had some more in me, but I couldn't get it going, right?
Yeah,
and then I could talk, so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to type it, but I'm going to talk it. So I started talking it, and then I was like, okay, that's okay. Get my, Claude, I've talked in 6 stories now, get my my voice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so and I, oh, do I say that? Do I say this? And okay, now I need a writing voice, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool, I have a writing voice. So create the new writing voice. So then I'm like, okay, and I spent a day just talking in like 60 different life stories that I've been through.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Then I was like, I'm doing Daniel Priestley. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
So I'm doing his course on key person of influence.
Yeah.
And one of the people in there is the lady called Lucy McGrath, and she's got a book called Book Magic. It's how to write a book. So I'm like, okay, I have to read that book. So I'm like, no. Put the book into Claude. I'm like, right. Yeah. I need a book magic skill. Okay. Yeah. Analyze this book. So I've now analyzed the book, and I now have a skill. So, take these stories and create me a database in Notion where I can put the stories in there. Cool. And it now says, okay, this book, this story will fit into this chapter, this story will fit in that chapter, this is about this, and about this, and about this, and about this, and it gives me this whole flow.
Right.
Yeah. And then I met this amazing guy called Dennis Ross. If you haven't heard of him, you want to look him up. He's just a wordsmith of amazing capability. Yeah, he sat in this call with 200 of us, and he's like, has us in tears, just the way he's talking.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, just amazing. And I'm like, I need to learn that. You know, I really need to learn that. Like, no, I don't. Go and find out all about Dennis Ross. Find out about what his methodology is. Yeah, he's got 14-point methodology. Okay. Build me a skill, right?
Yeah.
So So it's my voice and it's my my words and my stories, right? And the same way that you'd go out and you'd go and get yourself a ghostwriter, who would then write it for you. Yeah, I've got my ghostwriter, right? Which was a Claude Code Machine, and this was before I came on board with you. And so we went through this process, and I was like, and you know, I went to Florida. I did a book writing retreat in Florida with some friends. Yeah. Yeah, by the time I'd finished going through this process, I was like, and I read my first story, it actually brought me to tears because I'd never heard my own story in that way.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and that's when I knew, okay, this is doable. This is
If it's like conveying those emotions in you yourself, who already knows the stories, then that's very impressive.
Yeah, and for me that was this piece that, this is why it's thinking outside your brain. You don't need to go and learn all this stuff anymore. Yeah, we've been conditioned that we have to learn something, we have to do a course, we have to do this, we have to do that, and then we have to practice it and get good at it. And those days aren't here anymore, huh? They're gone.
100%. And we're not saying that you like going back to the point of it's not making you dumber. What you're doing is just like using your time in a more valuable way. You're still extracting the key points from those different frameworks and books and understanding the 80% of what you need to know, but it's taking you 20% of the time instead of having to sit down, read the book, extract the frameworks, think how they apply to your case. And what you can do is, again, spend your time on quality vetting the output. Does that framing work, or should I try a different framework? And therefore, you put in the second framework that you know, and you're basically improving it through these proven bits of context.
And then, so then I joined your community. I saw your YouTube stuff and I was like, I really love the way that you brought the human to it.
Oh, thank you.
It was okay. He gets marketing, he's got an understanding. You knew what an ICP was. So many people don't even know what that is, right? So I joined up and then it's NA10 and Claude Code. And I hadn't started Claude Code yet. I'd done a little bit, I'd done the book part of it, but I hadn't done much of it. But I started Claude Code, did the book thing, burnt through $20 of credits in no time, burnt through $100 of credits, burnt through $200 of credits. And I was like, right, I'm gonna have to have five of these things to actually do any work, right? And so I jumped on yours. You did NA10 first, and that was pretty quick because I'd been doing that. Then I had the Claude Code, then that was pretty quick. And then you're like, okay, I'm bringing out this agent operating system. And I'm like, oh, that's what I need. I need one of them. I put that in. I put it in the day you put it out. I was like, go, let's get it going, right?
Amazing.
And put it in. What I love about that is that on the onboarding process, it captures all of the different information that you need to have, right? There's this process that you go in, and it's like step by step by step, and your brand guidelines and your voice and your so if you have those things, you just import them, and if you don't have them, it'll ask you. So I got this layer first of all of things that were there. So I'm like, okay, cool, and then started realizing that. Because I know NHN, because I know how APIs work, and because I have a whole bunch of other stuff, I can do a whole bunch more. Right. So I was like, okay, I want to build my website. Right. I'm not a web designer. I never have been. I've never been visual. I can talk tech all day long, but how do I do user experience? How do I do CRO? How do I do all these things? So, okay, I need you to go and find the top five people in this field, this field, this field, this field, and this field. So, went and found the five. Right, now I want a skill here, skill here, skill here, skill here. Right. Yeah, cool. And I was like, now I've been hearing about Wix, and I've been hearing about WordPress, and I've known about these things. What's the new way of doing it? So I said, well, you need Vercel, you need a Supabase, you need maybe Payload CMS. Okay, let's do that. And without knowing anything, I was able to go through and set this up. And literally, in a couple of hours, I had my site rebuilt and up using my branding, using my voice. Okay, I need some content. Where's the content going to come from? I know, I've got 70 blogs. Right. Now, take my VTT file from a blog, ingest it with my code. Find out, do my keyword research so I know what I'm doing, right? And make me 50 blogs. Cool, done. 50 blogs up in. And since then, that was 3 months ago. Since then, however long it was ago, I've just been layering on top and layering on top and layering on top. To the point that I'm now able to take a video file of something I've recorded and drop it in a folder, and it does all the bits and pieces. That hook should be in the front, and it cuts it out and puts it in the front. It strips it all together, puts it back in again, throws the captions on it. Put some B-roll on it, and does everything I need. And this is where we're going.
And you've built that over time, right? You've basically been like, okay, what's my first goal that I want to achieve? Let's get that done. And then actually that's going to run forever. So then it's like time saved and that continues to accumulate. So then you're like, okay, I actually also want it to post on LinkedIn for me. So I'm going to then focus on that for a week or a day, however long it takes you to build. And then you want blog posts off the back of it. And then you want, you know, it to come back and optimize the blog posts for internal links and things like that. So yeah, everything is an additional amount of time saved. You've obviously got to invest a little bit of time in it, but yeah.
I mean, I sat down with this new client the other day, and he runs a marketing, a full service marketing agency, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool, okay, show me what you're doing. And we went through a whole bunch of stuff, and I've got this AI system for it. So I'm like, okay, show me. And then we got, one of the things I do is look at how they're running their budgets. And so they're
Yeah.
like, let's look at your team. And he's got 14 people in his team. And I'm like, okay. What are these 14 people doing, right?
Yeah.
And this is a key thing, because what we can do now as we go forward is not the same as what we have done in the past. And when I showed him what I was doing, I was doing more than his 14 team members.
Wow.
And that was a real eye-opener for me and for him.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what about these people? I'm like, yeah, but those people all have a skill. Your branding person has the skill. Instead of spending 70-80% of her time going and doing stuff, she can
Yeah.
spend all of her time taking that branding skill and seeing, 10 times more customers.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's what we want to do. Right. Okay, there's
Yeah.
this developer, there's that de the okay, well, let's get them working in a way that they can be way more efficient,
Yeah.
and bring that human to the front, right? And 10 times it. And let them work 6 hours a day and pay them more money. That's my view of the AI world in the future, is that it actually frees us.
Augmentation instead of replacement. It's like, how can we make somebody enjoy their work more, focus on more of the right things that add value to your business, whilst, freeing up more time and getting more customers and growing your business?
Where do you see it going? I mean, you're really at the sharp end of this. We call you at the bleeding edge. So where do you see it going, even in the next couple of months?
Oh, it's really hard to tell because, if you'd asked me this 12 months ago, my answer now would have probably been way off. But like when you look at the micro things of what's happening, it's like there are a lot of patterns in new tools that have been released, like OpenClaw and Hermes, that have been adopted like tremendously quickly, like at historic rates, right? Like GitHub stars are coming in at historic rates for these personal assistants that can do everything for you, but they're very much a black box approach. You don't know what's going on underneath the hood. And then you see companies like Anthropic and OpenAI basically trying to replicate all the great logic, but have a user almost like understand what's happening. So, and that's effectively what the agentic operating system that you talked about earlier is. It's context management, but I know exactly what's going on under the hood, and I teach others exactly what's going on under the hood. So I see like those companies are building features that make it way more autonomous and way more hands-off. So I definitely see it being more autonomous and hands-off. But like you said, I hope it's in the direction of not complete automation and instead in augmentation. Like, how do we improve the quality of our outputs, but also improve the quantity of our outputs? How can we 10x the meta ads that we're running so that we understand which meta ads are actually performing better without, 10x the time?
Google Ads, right? I don't know how much you hate Google Ads, but I've gone through the process of trying to set them up and get them working and doing all this kind of stuff. And it's painful. Painful isn't even, And then 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was like, okay, API this, put it straight in. So now that my agentic operating system, your system, connects to my Google Ads account.
Yeah,
Okay.
great.
And then because I've managed to sign up for a Google Ads developer account, I can go and search or do the keyword research.
Yes, nice.
And all of this, it doesn't work unless you know who your client is, unless you know what they're saying, unless you understand you need SEO and GEO and AEO, you need all these things. Otherwise, it's not going to work, right? And it all starts with understanding what your SOPs are for your customers.
Yeah, the tools are getting easier, but the processes haven't changed. Like the functional knowledge you need to run something well. Like everyone can now create a meta ad, but not everyone can create a brilliant meta ad that, you know, returns on investment. And that's the difference. That's where that functional or niche knowledge is actually going to play a part, because, yeah, one set of people can do it really well, and then 99% of people can do it, but not well.
Yeah. And then how do you use the tools to learn? I love that about your system as well. The tool is always learning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about like how do you feed back, both like with the human feeding back and also things that it can validate and test by itself. Like how does that feed back into the learning cycle so that, you know, it is getting better and isn't just getting more biased towards its own view. So, for example, I was doing some research this week on Hermes and Hermes Agent. And one of the inherent problems in the way it's set up is it builds out these process documents, these skills automatically. So you tell it to do something and then it basically creates the skill for you.
Right.
There's a couple of inherent problems that people have noticed with that. One of the biggest ones is that it's grading its own work. So it's supposed to be a self-improving skill. It basically goes through, creates a process, and then because it's research, it's reviewing its own outputs, it basically always tells itself, you've done a really good job. So you effectively get this self-learning loop that's getting more and more biased, potentially changing the underlying logic and process because it's telling itself it's doing well rather than getting that external validation from a human or from another model.
And that was the, I think, being that we've been in this game for a long time now, people still might not understand this about the large language models is, the context is so important. What's the context? Who's your audience? What's the requirements? What's the expectations? I've got a care framework.
Yeah.
And the biggest single tool that I've used in the last 2 years has been, right, I've given you this idea. What am I missing? What's wrong? What else could I do to improve it? And go and do some research online and find out if this will work or not. Because if you go out and you say to ChatGPT, "Hey, I've got a great idea. I'm going to sell soap on the side of the road. It's amazing. I've got people that walk past here. There's at least a few a day, and they're going to buy my soap." ChatGPT will say, "Yeah, that's a good idea. this is how you could do it. And why don't you think about getting yourself a banner?" But if you go and put that the whole context in, you can get much more out of it, right?
100%, and you definitely need that critique as well. And that's a really good way to use it, is to say, you know, we all have our inherent biases. We're all biased towards our own ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why the mum test exists as a book, right? It's about going and asking questions in a non-biased way to get an accurate reflection of actually what people think. And we need to do the same with like ChatGPT and stuff. Is like, we almost want it to criticize our work so that we can understand the limitations and we can improve our ideas.
I've had a couple of conversations this week with people saying, I want to move from ChatGPT to Claude, but ChatGPT knows too much about me.
Yes.
Yeah, and
100%.
I'm like, that's quite hectic.
Yeah. It's a big barrier, actually, and I'm sure. Like this is one of the directions that all of these platforms are moving in, is like easy migration, because you do get stuck inside a tool. And what you want to be building, if you're building something, is something that is almost like technology agnostic. You want it just to be a portable framework. And that's why it's so important to understand the underlying structure and folders and logic, because that can all be ported over to any tech. But if you're opening OpenClaw, for example, everything's stuck in OpenClaw. You can change model, but you're stuck with the framework that they've built. You can't just grab those files and put them in somewhere else, or you can, but it might take a very long time to unpick them all.
Yeah. And I think there's another shift that's happening. Claude's doing this at the moment, where they are moving away from allowing the model to just use its own 20 bucks a month or 100 bucks a month pool to do the building. So
Yes.
you're going to be limited. And yeah, for me, having everything outside of the tool means I can flip around. I'll just set up a codex and so I'm just trying both things and an Obsidian Brain to try and have the ability to go between things. Because it's, remember when broadband came out? Are you old enough for that?
Just about.
And when it first came out, when we first had broadband out away from the dial-up, it was so fast, right? It was so fast because you were the only one on the road and you were getting the full 50 megs. Right. And then everybody else on the road got broadband, and suddenly it was back down to normal bloody dial-ups speed. And that's kind of what's happened over the last year with this, with AIs. As soon as more and more people get on and they need more processing power, now they're like, well, how do we pull this back again? So I think we're potentially in for a bit of a ride. So.
So you see like feedback on models like Opus 4.6, where they say, hang on, this is totally regressed from where it was 6 months ago. And it's probably because of those limitations, right? They're buying up computing power from everywhere they can. And yeah, they just have to sacrifice something.
And Claude just did a nasty on everyone there and said, yeah, sorry, we did that. We and they're trying to undo, yeah.
100%, 100%. I mean, it's the same with the $20 of credits, right? Was this where they recently announced that basically, or they've done a few of these announcements, but one of them was autonomous tasks that you do in the background were on subscription plan. Here's some credits, which was packaged up as, free credits, but under the hood, it was actually you're no longer able to use your subscription plan for these types of tasks. Anyone wanting to do the NAN style event-based workflows in the background, you're now going to have to pay API credits, which inherently are 10 times more expensive, like actually 10 times more expensive.
That's coming out 15th of June. That's going to be
Yes.
hooked into it. So there's going to be a lot of people suddenly having to pay 15 times more for the same thing. And that's another kind of thing that we need to understand, right? I'm now building out agent operating systems for all my clients, right? And great, build them out, off we go. If I do this on the basis that the clients are now able to have the same staff doing 10x, then I should be happy to pay for that service, right? If that means I need to pay 300 bucks a month for it instead of 20 bucks a month, then what's the value that we're getting compared to the function that we're doing, right? And so many people, I'm like, get yourself a Claude subscription. Well, I've already got ChatGPT. That's going to be another 20 quid a month. But
See the big picture and the value it's delivering back to you,
How much more can you do with that when you actually use it properly? And so that's a question we're going to have asked and answered, I think. So.
I think so. Like it becomes evident when you're trying to, like everyone will reach for it when they're trying to do things they can't do. So, for example, when you said you can't like inherently by yourself build a website that's got your, copy, it's got a nice style, etc. So actually, you'd be ha more than happy to pay $20 a month to get a website up and running in a day. But how much would you have paid, 5, 10 years ago to get a website up, and how long would it have taken? But yet, people aren't willing to commit, $20, $100 a month to even just test the thing and give it a trial run and see how powerful it actually is.
I put something out on LinkedIn the other day there, which was talking about one of my clients, going to go and redo his website, and he had built out the HTML for it, and he was going to send that across to his developer and pay $600 to the developer to put that onto his WordPress for him. And I was like, those days are gone. We don't do that anymore, right? So I put that onto LinkedIn, and I got 48 abuse answers from everyone developing in WordPress.
Really?
It was insane. It was really insane. I was like, Okay, this is the problem, guys. You need to get with the latest tools because, yeah, this is the new world we live in, right? This is where it's coming.
100%.
So let's think about wrapping up and thinking about what you're doing at the moment, the agentic operating system, and I'll share this cool link below for people to come and join you. Where do you the next 6 months? Where's the Agent Academy going?
Yeah, so we've started like the agentic operating system, as we've talked about a couple of times, is basically how do you manage the right context into the models at the right time? So you can compare it to when you used to use something like ChatGPT, and it basically everyone told you a better prompt is when you include examples. We're doing that at a larger scale. We're including your brand voice at the right time because it's a better example of how you write. We're including the visual identities at the right time because it knows your fonts, your colors, etc. So everything like feels like you. So we've kind of built that infrastructure around pushing in the right context and the right examples at the right time. The next level for us is building out those process documents. So, you mentioned LinkedIn posts as an example. A lot of businesses need to post on LinkedIn, some post on Instagram, some post on Twitter. Like all of those have an 80% version that's like the same out the box. You need to gather research. You need to actually refine that in your voice into content. You need to create visuals and then you need to post them. That's like the 80% version. And then the 20% version is the bit you customize to make it slightly more nuanced to you, your visuals slightly more yours. So what we're doing is building systems, and we call them skill systems, that combine multiple of these processes into a box that you just one line install, and basically you then have LinkedIn carousels straight out the box, one line install. You can post from that day, basically. So we're focused on, and we did a vote recently inside the community what skill systems to build out. So we're focused on going down the priority list of what people want built out. So that's social carousel systems. We've already released a version of that. We've got like meta ad creation. And we've got a bunch of those blog creation, a lot of these universally recognized good things to do to grow your business and grow your traffic are kind of the heavy hitters, the top things we're focused on next.
Magic. Well, thank you very much for joining. It's been amazing chatting, and I'm looking forward to more great things in the community.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate the time. Thanks for listening, guys.
For listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.